Friday, and the love line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Everything's good.
Yeah. I can hear me about 3 seconds after me says whatever me word comes out of me mouth.
Turn your headphones down.
All right. Then I can't hear me at all. Ron Perlman is here tonight, otherwise known as Hellboy. Which now, Drew, you saw Hellboy, right? Or your kids saw it twice?
No, I saw it with them once, and they went immediately and saw it again the next day. They loved
it. How come you didn't go the second time?
Yeah, come on, Drew.
Come on.
What didn't I do right?
Yeah, well, I'm going to see it 4 more times. No
doubt. You want 13 hours without seeing Hellboy, and you couldn't go see it again?
And I'm embarrassed, and I'm humbling myself before you, Ron, but it was a great film. Good job.
No problem. Can I get a check, please, and a taxi?
I'm out of here. In about 2 hours. Hellboy, number one the week before last, its opening week, and then got bumped by The Passion of the Christ. That's an Easter thing. And I'm sure it'll be back next week, although I'm trying to think who the competition is next week.
Kill Bill
is the big competition.
That's a different movie. Different movie.
You saw the first one.
Different crowd, yeah. Yeah, and I was watching. Now, I've not seen Hellboy yet, but I have. I do watch Siskel, no, Ebert, and Roper, and gave it quite a nice review. For guys that are a little stingy with the thumbs.
Ebert, did I really miss Siskel during that review? During that review, yeah.
They both liked it. It's just Roper's a little snobby.
He got a little curmudgeonly.
Yeah, well, I think he feels like it's better television if he disagrees.
Well, here's the reality. It was a tour de force for Ron. Seriously. I mean, seriously. On camera the entire time. Amazing scenes, amazing stunts. And my kids have got to have your autograph, by the way, now that I've kissed your ass officially.
We brought you some signed lithographs.
God bless.
And then when we found out that you weren't here, we just gave them to the rest of your staff.
Oh, yep.
Holy Christ.
And we promptly sold them on eBay.
And they went for $3.
I certainly did. Well, that's...
Ka-ching.
Drew, you're in Muncie right now?
Yeah.
Muncie, Indiana, Muncie... Oh, no, that's scary.
What are you doing in Muncie, Indiana?
Speaking at Ball State. You know what Ball State is famous for?
A note.
David Letterman.
Oh, really?
That was his school, yeah.
They get Letterman over there?
No, that was his state.
I see. I thought they just watch it sometimes.
He teaches there? What is he?
He went to school here.
He still has a show, doesn't he?
All right. Yeah. And, Drew, you want to know what L.A. Valley College is famous for? Want to take a guess?
No.
Adam Carolla went to L.A. Valley College.
Thank you, Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're dropping names.
Yeah. Where'd you go, Ron?
I went to, in kindergarten, I was at PS 173.
Wow.
Which is on 173rd Street, curiously enough, in Upper Manhattan.
Wow.
Then
way over
PS 115 for what we lovingly refer to as junior high.
Is PS public school?
PS is public school.
Yeah, I like...
We were so poor, we couldn't afford the entire moniker. We had to just use the initials.
And now junior high for you was 7th, 8th, and 9th, right?
That's right. Except not 8th, because I was an SP, speaking of initials, which meant special progress, which meant no 8th grade. So I went straight from 7 to 9.
Yeah,
and then it was kind of like my uncle got 7 to 9 also, but he didn't do it.
Special progress meant you were smarter than your classmates?
Well, yeah, but that's simply because I had a pulse.
Right.
You know,
they told Adam he's making special progress.
The standards weren't particularly high back then, you know.
Special progress. You see, this is the problem with these everything being a sort of euphemism these days, is if Ron just said, well, in the 8th grade I was involved with special progress, I'd say, oh, okay, buddy, but you landed on your feet. you know what I mean? It's like, this is the problem when we turn everything that's sort of a handicap into a, oh, no, he's gifted or he's special or he's this or he's
challenged.
That. He's handicapable, he's challenged. it's great, except for once in a while someone actually is in a gifted program, and special progress sounds to me like you're wearing a hockey helmet and using those kind of weird, those you know those canes that go on your forearms, Drew, those polio canes?
Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
what I'm picturing. I'm picturing a hockey helmet and the forearm polio canes. Maybe a stroke cane, which I argue is not a cane, Drew.
They came in real handy in the Special Progress program.
And then what college did you go off to?
Wait, I didn't get to high school yet.
Okay, go to high school, would you?
I ended in ninth grade, and by golly, I'm going to finish this life story if it takes me all night.
All right.
Hold all my calls, by the way, because this could take a while. I went to George Washington High School, which is had no sports program because a couple of guys died. Not from the sports program, but they just were hedging their bets. It was a tough school. I'll tell you how tough the school was. One time somebody said, "Hey, how far is the subway from here?" And another guy said, "I don't know. Nobody's ever made it before."
Well, come on, where's the
high? I'll tell you how tough the school was. There's no rim shot on
radio.
Where's
the rim shot, Anderson?
I tell you how tough this... There you go. You better get ready for another one. This school was so tough on the menu, broken leg of lamb. But you know, anyways.
Yeah, one more.
High school. Oh, yeah, then I went, wait. I went to college. I went to Lehman College in the Bronx. I actually was admitted to Hunter College in the Bronx, but they decided to separate from Hunter College downtown, so it became Herbert H. Lehman, named after that great progressive alcoholic governor. And then I went to Herbert H. Lehman, I acquired $4,672 worth of parking tickets.
Really?
So I started looking for brochures for grad school in remote places, and I finally found...
Did you really get $4,000 worth of parking tickets?
672. Yeah, 4,000. And so I went on the lam to grad school and ended up with a master's from the University of Minnesota.
Ooh, that's nice.
Because I figured no cop from New York, no self-respecting New York cop would look for me in Minnesota.
So is that a golden gopher?
That's right.
All right.
The golden gophers are in the retirement plan.
What was the degree in, the master's in?
Theater.
All right. Well, perfect.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
I'm going to...
You ever choke on a chicken
buttons.
Bone in the theater? I'm not a doctor. I'm just a master.
Well, we got one. William?
Yeah.
I'm just going from the top and heading on down.
Okay.
You loved Hellboy?
I did.
Want to know if there's going to be a sequel?
Yeah. Because usually, like, when movies come out and if they do really well, they'll talk to the actors and see if they, want to sign on for a second one or anything like that.
Is that a standard part of a contract if you're doing an action movie or, like, a superhero movie where there will be a clause for a sequel?
Yeah, the Hellboy movie, kind of had franchise written all over it because
right.
it was, you could clearly see that with any commercial success, we would have the continuing adventures of Hellboy. And,
right.
So in my particular case, I signed a contract for a film with an option for two more.
Right.
And so I'm signed on. Should the movie warrant a sequel? Which I think it will. Thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. America. I'm in.
I mean,
but I do this. I do this with incredible zeal and enthusiasm because it's far and away the coolest character I've ever played.
Well, when do they decide? I mean, it was number one at the box office its opening week. It was number two. Probably would have been number one had it been Easter and Passion of the Christ and all that business. Isn't this about the time they're going to decide to go ahead and make a number two?
Well,
I beg your pardon?
Make a big steaming number
two? I've made a couple of number twos on screen. But, thanks, Drew.
That was an uncomfortable laugh, Gord. It was an actual.
It's like, let's fill that space. What was the question?
When are you going to do the number two? When
they
decide?
The Monday after the opening weekend, we got word that the studio had ordered a script for Hellboy 2.
All right. So, good. It's in the works.
It's in the works.
Rita.
Hello.
You're 20?
I love you guys, by the way. I'm, like, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
I know. I am, like, a 20-year-old virgin who's never had a boyfriend, and I'm, like, obsessed with this guy I used to work with, and I don't know. I'm just obsessed. And I've, like, attempted to stalk him.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So you've never been able to...
I'm curious about the attempted stalking part. How's that work?
I sort of know his first name and his last name because I used to work with him. And, like, mm-hmm. I went on Google and, like, found his phone number and address. And I've been cranking his house a couple of times. And I drove up to his house. And a couple of days ago, I found out that was the wrong person. And the wrong person. Yeah.
But this is stuff that Adam, you did when you were 14, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I do it for a living now. Anchors, Tuesday nights, Comedy Central, by the way.
But the question is, why can't she have relationships? Why there's no possibility of intimacy, and why this obsessional quality to things? Are you a trauma survivor?
No.
Hmm? Well, first off, she sounds like, a 13-year-old male. Mm. I mean, there's something going on with her. She doesn't, women don't do this.
Well,
I mean,
They do it after they've slept with somebody and the guy stiffs them. That's when they do it.
Right.
This is someone who's never been able to have a relationship of any kind.
Yeah.
And there's something going on with that.
Well, first off, partially your parents' fault for naming you Rita. That's a tough name to get past. 20, no wonder you're virgin. Now, what's going on? Is there anything wrong with you?
I don't know.
How are you doing physically?
Physically, I'm okay.
But you got to help us, Rita. Why could you never have a relationship? Were you raised in a very strict environment where you could never get out?
I mean, my mom she grew up in a convent, and I think I've been raped before because she'd, like, never let me spend the night over a friend's house if their dads were around, or she'd never, like, let me play with boys or anything.
Your mom was sexually abused is really what happened. And that's why she went to the convent, and that's why she was so fearful of you about being around men. And that trauma gets transmitted to you. Now, of course, a woman that has been sexually abused will kind of find another abuser like that to bring around, and maybe you were abused again. So Rita's a very sort of very serious set of circumstances here. Have you ever thought about getting some...
How about a little therapy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Couldn't hurt, right? What do you do? Do you work?
No, I was going to college, but then my parents were very adamant about me dropping out so that we can move and I could, like, switch to a different college. So now I'm, like, sort of doing nothing.
You're 20, Rita. It's time for you to take control of your life, really. You've got to do that. It's time.
That's right. And, look, the whole virgin part thing, you don't have AIDS. You never had herpes. You don't have crabs. You don't have
You say you listen to our show. You know why it's a good idea to be a virgin.
Yeah, you dodged a bullet. You just take it from here.
That's right. Okay. But she won't be able to do it without treatment, though.
All right. How about a little therapy?
Okay.
All right. All right. Hey, but good times, though, right?
Good time. Okay.
All right. All right. Just enjoy yourself. You got TiVo? Do you have TiVo?
No.
All right, get that TiVo. Do yourself a favor. All your problems will melt away.
Go see Hellboy.
Go see Hellboy. And then when it comes out on, Showtime or HBO, you can TiVo it.
DVD.
Well, you buy the DVD... No, you go see it in the theater and you buy the DVD, but then you TiVo. You know what I'm saying? Because you can fast forward through the parts that Ron's not in. And I know
there's
4 minutes. There's that little beginning part where you got to get through the credits and stuff like that. Here's what I do with the TiVo. I spend so much time fast forwarding and then going past what I wanted to stop and then going back and then trying to fast forward again and not timing it right that it would have been faster just to leave it alone.
Yes.
I would actually get to it. But there's some satisfaction in blasting past the point you wanted to get to and then stopping and going back too far. Mm-hmm. So it's good. And it's nice with the old lady, too, because it makes for great arguments. I like, women, they got that TiVo. They act like you can't stop it. You know, like you're watching Sopranos. You're trying to get through the beginning. HBO's running all their Deadwood promos and stuff. And you're like, okay. And you start getting into the thing. They scream, stop, stop. Like you're not watching it. Like you can't go back. Like you're not going to be able to do it. Do women really actually, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't think guys don't do that. Guys understand, well, he's going to hit stop in just a second. He'll hit the pause and he'll go back. They don't scream at the person who's holding the TiVo. Right. Yes, Drew?
Yes. Yes, Adam.
Yes, Ron?
You lost me on that last turn.
I will repeat it.
Okay.
No. He's with you. He's with you.
All right. He's with me. All right. Brad?
Yeah.
You're hard during...
How old is Brad?
Yeah, Brad is 19.
All right.
girlfriend pressed too hard during a hand job?
Pretty much.
Now your penis hurts?
Not my penis, my nut, basically.
Uh-huh.
Adam, we should read these before we take them.
Yeah, all right. All right. I'm just going in order, buddy.
I understand. That's not a good plan.
All right.
All right, so Brad, like any other body part, it can be traumatized. You actually need surgery sometimes.
Well, I don't know. She grabbed your nuts?
She was giving me a hand job, basically. And, you know, sometimes they rub the area around your penis, and she rubbed a little too hard.
Hold on, I'm writing this down.
So am I, actually.
Hand job.
Finally got my attention.
So you're saying a hand job is not a mop handle up your rectum. You're saying it's something else?
Yeah, actually.
All right, so you're saying they put their hand on your penis.
Believe it or not, that's all exactly right. What happened.
Okay.
How did you get her to do that? Was it a couple of cocktails and a movie or something, dinner?
Brad.
You know, it's...
I don't understand why your nutsack hurts if it was about the grip on your junk.
Yeah, she must have a very large hand.
Let me explain myself here, Adam. It's,
give the guy a chance.
Shut up. We run a horrible risk on this show anytime we let a caller speak for more than one sentence. Drew, back me up, please.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've tried over and again to ask, well, not just speak, but... to ask them to clarify, to ask them to respond to questions. Huge mistake.
It never works. But we're going to try.
Brad, no. Oh.
Yes. Go, buddy.
All right. It wasn't the grip on the shaft. It was the area next to the penis, you know, next, just on the body.
Now it's totally clear, Adam. Why didn't we say this?
I see.
Complete clarity.
The part next to the penis is where the damage was.
You must have been either lying on your side if it was next to, or wait a minute. There's a centrifugal force issue here that I don't get the visual on this.
This guy paints a picture. I mean, it's Hemingway.
Picasso. Yeah. What is the area next to the penis? That's everywhere.
I know, but say.
Well, we hope so.
Ron is technically the area next to the penis, and so is everybody.
Yes.
Say you're looking down at your junk, the base of your shaft, right to the left of it, and you can, like, you know, you got your nut sack, and then your testicle has a tube running on it. That's what she hit. She, like, pressed down on that, and it hurt like hell. Still hurt.
Like I said, this is an area, like any other body part, There's not an infinite elasticity. It can rupture. It can be the veins in there can bleed and break. You can rupture the spermatic cord. It needs to be seen by a urologist if it keeps hurting. If it swells.
That being said, though, Drew, that area is fairly resilient to
the cord, the spermatic cord.
The whole area down there, the whole thing.
How long has this persisted?
Oh, you're asking Brad?
Well, here we
got rid of Brad weeks ago.
Okay.
No, screw Brad. Let's go to the doctor.
It was really nice chatting with you, Brad.
It's a life.
See Hellboy.
Don't forget to call again.
Yeah, go see Hellboy and maybe start working on that sequel, Brad.
There was a scene like that in Hellboy, but it hit the cutting room floor.
But Adam, I think the DVD, right?
I think Adam.
Yeah, that's the added value.
Adam.
Yeah.
I know there's roles for you and I in the sequel.
Yeah, how about that? Well, like Ron's in charge of casting. I mean, put a good word in for us, right?
He's in charge. It's his show now.
I'm on it. The minute I turn my phone back on.
All right.
In fact, I might call in.
All right, let's...
I have a couple of issues.
Ashley? We won't talk to you, see?
Ashley, you're 17. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I want to know why I can't have a relationship for longer than 2 weeks.
What happens? Why do you end them?
I don't know. I guess I just get bored of the guys right away.
Well, you know what, Ashley, I'll tell you something. At 17, I actually think that is somewhat protective. In other words, you're starting to get involved with, get a boyfriend at 17. Maybe you're not really ready for that. And sometimes I think when people push away, particularly people around your age, the possibility of a relationship, it's not so much a difficulty with intimacy as kind of protection against getting too involved too early. 17.
Drew, do you mind if I weigh in on this?
Please, go right ahead.
Could have something to do with the fact that she's seeing 17-year-old boys.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Are you
protective?
I mean, have you ever hung out with a 17-year-old boy for a while? You know,
it's a disaster.
It's like 2 weeks is a long time.
Ash, what you really have to ask yourself is, was your family stable? Do you feel okay about yourself? And if everything is sort of stable in your life, you will have intimacy when the time is right. It's just not right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering if it has to do something with my past.
Well, there we go. There we go.
We're going to go with yes, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's yes. Good night. Thanks for calling. Ashley, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you always the one that initiates the ending of these things?
Yeah.
No.
She gets bored.
I have no help for you, Ashley.
Tell us about
what happened.
The past. Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. Like, when I was younger, I always grew up in church. We are a Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was younger, I always grew up in church, and my best friend was the pastor's daughter.
Mm-mm.
And I always used to go to her house, and, like, she would say, oh, let's play boyfriend and girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
She would, like, start to kiss me and film me, and I was just like, I don't want to play this. And she'd be like, well, get out of my room then. Get out of my house. I don't like you anymore.
Yeah. All right.
So would she do explicitly sexual things with you?
Yeah.
Like what?
I don't know. She would just, like, always be touching me and, like, in my past and stuff. So.
Okay. So it was sort of a violation, but it wasn't a sexual act?
No.
They shouldn't try to put things in you or anything or really violate you anyway. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's just upsetting and a trauma. I think you'll get over that. Yeah, I don't think that's really it.
It's more going to church all the time that probably effed you up. Yeah. All right. Definitely not Jewish, though, right?
Oh, no.
Okay. All right, Ashley. You'll be fine.
Definitely didn't see Hellboy this past weekend.
Okay. Did you see Hellboy?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Go see Hellboy. Every good Catholic should go see Hellboy.
Isn't there a rule you can only call in tonight if you've seen Hellboy?
That's a great rule.
We've actually had that rule in place for several years, which has really hurt the show, I felt. I tried to talk Drew out of it. No offense.
No way. I wouldn't hear it any other way.
Let's wait till the movie comes out. He said no. And it's been about 45 months, I think, since we've had the Hellboy only
call. Since you've had the last
phone
call.
Yeah,
but I think... I think a way to sort of enhance viewing, though, would be to change our policy as of tonight and make it for people who have not but are absolutely going to see it.
Yes. Like Tony over here, who's 22. Tony?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Hold on a second.
Where were you?
Oh, boy.
Are you hell-bent on seeing Hellboy?
I don't know. I've seen the advertisements for it. It seems pretty cool, but I don't really know if I'm going to be able to see it because I don't have the funds for it.
Oh, I see.
Where do you live?
I live in a boarding care.
I see. Oh, you have a mental disorder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Yeah.
Okay. And maybe, you can always see a matinee.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, because that's about half price.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second there, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have, by the way, that puts you in the boarding care?
Oh, paranoid schizophrenia.
You're insane.
Okay, that's all right. We'll straighten that out, all right?
Okay.
All right, hang on, buddy.
You'll cure that. That'll take just a moment.
Yeah, I can do it over the phone.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman is here tonight. He's Hellboy, everybody. And from the looks of it, he's going to be hell guy and hell dad and hell grandpa. I mean, this is going to keep going, right?
Yeah, hell guy and a walker.
Yeah. He's going to be fighting with fecal matter. By the time they get to number five.
Till the last dog dies.
Colostomy fights.
All right, Drew, you stay over there. Drew's in Muncie, Indiana doing... I'd ask him what he was doing, but I really don't care.
All right.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Muncie, Indiana tonight. Ron Perlman, Hellboy, is in studio tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Number one secular movie at the box office
this week.
Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the phones. Oh, we're going to speak to Tony. Tony's in board and care. Tony?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You're 22. You're paranoid?
Yeah, paranoid schizophrenic.
All right. And how's the board and care treating you?
It's treating me okay. The food here is kind of lousy. I don't really like it that much. And I just tend to wander off and do my own little things and get myself in trouble by getting involved with the older women and getting into fights and doing drugs and all that.
He goes on with...
All right. Whoa. Hold on there, Jenny. Can't use that language in there. But it sounds like everything's going great. It sounds like made some inroads there, some progress.
Making friends, Tony, influencing people.
Yeah, Tony, you hate to... I don't want to pile on the mentally disabled, but Tony seems like he could be doing better.
Well, the question is he taking his medication? That's really
Tony.
The question here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Tony, listen.
What?
All right, I'm going to hang up on you, okay?
Why?
Because you're
Tony, wait.
You're aggressive.
Tony can't, listen, Tony's got an illness. He can't help that aggressiveness. Are you taking your medication?
He has to take my medication.
What do you want?
I'm on Depakote, I'm on Klonopin, Trazodone, and Seroquel.
You're not on any antipsychotic medicines, though.
I guess not.
You're Seroquel, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm on Seroquel.
All right. Knows more than you do, Drew. Tony, you can't use profanity on the air, all right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, Tony. All right, so you're on the medications, you're living in the board and care, and you're getting into trouble. Why are you getting into trouble?
I don't know, because I just sort of spaz out whenever I smoke crack cocaine. I just sort of going off and sort of thinking strange things.
Yeah, all right, that's a really hard combination. Schizophrenia plus drug
crack?
Addiction. Yeah, plus crack. That is a tough combo.
Are you addicted to crack cocaine, Tony?
Yes, I am.
Tony, why don't you get in the program? Go to some CA meetings, get a sponsor.
I go to a program called New Beginnings. It's on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and they don't really do much for me over there, and it just kind of bugs me. I try going to NA meetings in my area, and I tried going to one of the NA meetings, and it wasn't there, and the address is skipped, and so on and so forth, and couldn't find no help that way.
But I used to do a lot of screwing around with my medication.
Hey, Tony.
What?
See what you're going to sound like if you screw around with that medication? Hey, our... I don't understand. If you're in a board and care environment, how is it that you go find the crack cocaine?
Because it's just like just up the street, and it's just easy to get, you know.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's kind of expensive, like, isn't it?
Yeah. Where do you get the money for it?
Oh, my friend has a credit card, so he just lets me use his credit card, and he just runs up a bill. He smokes it too, so it's just like he just whatever with it. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care. As long as I get high, that's all that matters to me.
All right.
How do you buy crack with a credit card?
Huh?
Yeah. Well, you can't. Yeah, I'm sure they do something with the credit card other than give it to the dealer, because they don't take American Express.
ATM, he says.
Okay. So, Tony, let's listen to Dr. Drew and find you a place so you can get sober.
Yeah. Okay. Here is the deal. This is a very serious situation. This is one of the most difficult circumstances to manage. You need to make sure you're on your medication. You need to talk to psychiatrists again. Maybe the things they can adjust to make you feel less agitated when you go to these meetings. But the reality is you need to go somewhere where you can be connected to a 12-step process. And you may need to go away, if you possibly can, to a comprehensive chemical dependency program for quite a while. If you cannot tolerate going to 12-step, if you can't get the sponsor, if you can't start the work, this isn't going to stop. So, I'm looking at my crystal ball, and I don't see good things ahead. Mm-hmm. So, Tony, please take care of yourself. All right.
Listen to Drew, Tony. Take care. And look, if you're on, that cocktail of medication already, the crack, I'm no doctor, but the crack really can't be helping. So, please, for our sake, give it up. All right, let's see. Ooh, Germany or Florida.
Adam,
yes,
you're just mouthing platitude. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Like he can stop doing crack. He can't stop. He's
got
to.
Just say no. You just got to say no.
No, you got to go somewhere and get work.
Yeah, pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Yeah. You dust yourself off. And
okay,
you say
Dr.
no.
Phil. Okay,
it takes
Dr.
a village.
Yeah.
It's a village. It takes a village. It takes a village. It takes a village to say no. We can't judge within every. Look, I'm like Whitney Houston's mom. There's a spirit within all of us. We have to speak to that spirit. You know what I'm saying? You go to church. That's all right. Okay.
Go.
All right. Good times. Justin.
Yeah. Hi.
You're 13.
Yeah.
All right, let's play Germany or Florida and really get this show moving now.
Things are sick and twisted from
this
too much sun and
song,
not these.
Right.
Sex, meth, and death fetishes, both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
First of all, Adam, you're tight. I watch the show or listen to it all the time. I saw Hellboy. That was tight. I like that movie. I would get it on DVD.
All right.
Thank you.
Suspecting that a drug dealer had sold her counterfeit crack cocaine, a woman complained to police. Good news. An investigating officer determined the two cocaine rocks were real. Bad news. The woman was arrested. She paid $50 for the drugs, she explained. But when she tasted them, she thought they were baking soda.
All right. Did this, this happen in either Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
All right. This is one of the... What's wrong with tonight, by the way, Drew?
I know.
Is there something wrong with tonight? Or no, all the colors horrible? It is. It's like playing handball against the drapes tonight.
Yes.
Even the Germany or Florida is weak.
Yeah.
Justin, I'm going Florida. Ron, Germany or Florida?
Germany.
Germany. Contrarian. Drew, who are you going with?
Florida.
Florida. Two Floridas and a Germany. Justin.
Yeah?
Germany or Florida?
Florida.
Yeah. All right.
Buddy. Wrong again.
All right, listen. Here's what I feel like doing. I would like to build a time machine and go back to the beginning of the show. But short of that, I would like to shake this computer like an Etch-a-Sketch and just erase everybody. Phone screeners, thank you. Here we go. Let's start it up again. Let's get it going. I blame myself. I blame Drew. I blame Ron. I blame my parents. I blame everybody. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Ron Perlman on the show tonight. Hellboy, I'll tell you what. Got a question for him right here, right at the top. Let's start it off by talking to Theo. Theo, 26. You got a question for Hellboy?
Yes, I do. In fact, I saw Hellboy. It rocked. I actually, as Drew did, I saw it twice.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Great performance. You really nailed the character, Ron. My question is more for City of Lost Children, though. The French movie you did. That was just an incredible, incredible movie. It's probably the best fantasy movie I've ever seen. Completely just amazed by that movie. And I was wondering how big of a budget like that movie had and how like working with the kids and everything was. And how, I mean, they pulled off an incredible performance. You were amazing. The whole thing is just incredible, and I just wanted to hear like some backstory on that. And then I also have a question for Adam and Drew after I hear.
Well, the movie was made totally by French money, and it was the equivalent to something like 20 or 21 million American dollars, which by French film standards is huge.
Sure.
It's kind of like what a $120 million American movie would be like. These filmmakers had come off a movie called Delicatessen, which won awards all over the globe in film festivals everywhere. And this was a picture that they had been sort of hoping to make for many, many years. In fact, they wrote it earlier than Delicatessen. So this was kind of a love child, and because there was sort of a halo around their careers at that moment in time, they got these amazing resources to work with and funding. It was one of the most tripped out experiences I've ever had making a movie.
Did you do it in France?
Did it? Yeah, just outside of Paris. Lived in Paris for 6 months. Jean-Pierre Jeunet and Marc Caraud at the time were working as partners, as you know, co-directors. Two different sides of the same coin. Very intense. Very serious and whacked out imaginations, and it was kind of like a state of grace the 6 months I worked on that. It was I appreciate all of your kind words on it.
Is it out on DVD now?
Yeah, it's been out on DVD. It did not do well commercially here or in France for that matter. It was kind of a bust, but the people who love that movie really like, is it Troy?
Theo. Yes.
Like yourself, really, really love it.
And I thought it was the most incredible thing. It still stands. It's just one of the most amazing movies I've ever seen, ever. Hmm.
Thank you.
Wow. All right. Well, go out and get it.
Well, I already own the DVD. I already have it.
Is it subtitled?
Yes, it is. Makes and it much easier as I know no French.
I spoke French in it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, Drew, speak French to Ron. Ron, do you speak French? Or
no.
You just
I just
phonetically?
Phonetically.
Wow.
Didn't say much in the movie. It's a kind of a movie where I'm on screen almost the entire film,
mm-hmm.
and they put all my dialogue on a half-typed page.
Wow.
I spoke very rarely. It was kind of like a gentle giant kind of character.
That's
very
like
nonverbal.
Drew with this radio show. He sits here for 2 hours. He doesn't say a goddamn word.
Kind of like all of us tonight.
Powerful.
Yeah, that's you, Drew. Powerful. Or maybe it's you don't know you're here.
But a hell of a Bernays sauce.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, it's interesting. Well, it wasn't that much dialogue. And it's interesting that I guess you just put a script down and you memorize it. You can do it just like you're doing any other script.
Well, I sing in Italian and languages I don't understand all the time.
I'd love to hear that.
Let's hear it, Drew.
No, Anderson can play it.
All right. Do you not understand it?
Yeah, it's many times. When I sing in German, I have no idea what I'm saying.
Right. Maybe it's just like, kill the Jews, and you're offending people. No?
La cosienza ne quodine sta penitenti.
All right, I speak Italian. Says gets nutsack caught in his fly, and he laments that.
Is that you, Drew, from Muncie?
That was me with Ben Stein.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you can hear the amateur coming through.
Well, still, it's pretty impressive.
Were girls throwing their underwear on stage that night when you were doing that?
And they were in it. True, seriously, what is your character doing on this?
Covered that note beautifully,
Dr. Drew.
Drew.
Yeah, hardly. Hizzy.
Getting yes. Tired.
You covered that. Yeah, it was some nice coverage on that last
one. From Andrea Chenier. It's a military guy getting ready to go to battle and sort of musing.
Uh-huh. About,
you could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell.
You could tell he wanted to get shot.
There was a lot of regalia
just
pouring out of that rendition.
Now, Theo had another question. Theo,
yeah,
to follow
screw
on.
Theo. Oh,
no,
okay.
Come on, Theo. Let's stay with the winner.
You know, I'm going to...
Theo's a winner. Let's
I think he is, too.
Theo.
That's what I was going to say. He's the kid that sings the theme song.
I think you
song.
Turned our luck around, Theo.
Legit Germany or Florida theme song.
The See?
The song you love to hate or hate to love, however you want to look at it.
It's you.
Yeah, it's me.
I see. What's that's why I wanted to talk to him.
All right, so my second question, I know it's a long shot, but I've been listening to you guys for years. You're like my cool, long-lost uncles or something, and I admire you a bunch. And Adam, you've helped me with all my writing and the development of my whole comedy voice and everything.
Oh,
and,
sure, I heard it in your theme song.
Well, recently, I'm sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis, sex with and death fetishes, both of them have got these.
I've molded a genius.
For you, Germany or Florida.
All right, so.
No, so recently I acquired a free round-trip air ticket.
All right, you want to come out and see us?
I want to be a guest for just those 2 hours. I promise not to bother you in your normal life. I want to be a guest on the show once. It would make my year.
He can come on and sing the Germany or Florida song.
You can come on and you can watch the show. You can get me a coffee if you promise not to shoot a snot rocket into it.
I'll bring all the wine and smoked almonds I have to.
And you can sing the Germany or Florida theme song live.
All right, it would be worth the trip.
All right. Now, we'll put you on hold.
All right.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything. Usually when we put people on hold, they just get hung up on
Brian
5 minutes
up
later.
On them.
Brian hangs up on them. But, yes. Uh-oh. He's gone already.
No.
I swear to God.
Oh,
all right, hear me. Hey, listen, if anyone can hear, anyone within the sound of my voice, take care of Theo. We'll bring him out here. He can sing the song live and give me a warm-up on my coffee. All right, Ron Perlman is here tonight from Hellboy. We'll take a quick break. Drew's in Muncie, Indiana. I feel like we got the show kick-started now.
Yeah, we're better. Theo brought us around.
We had a little trouble. We had a little hitch in our giddy-up out of the gate, but what we did is we found our stride.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Muncie, Indiana. Ron Perlman is here tonight.
Hey. Hey.
He is Hellboy. How long was it in the in makeup?
It was a four-hour transition.
Four hours. Yeah, whenever I hear those stories about 3, 4, 5 hours in makeup and everyone, and well, we had to hit the makeup chair about 5:30 a.m. every morning and be ready to go by 9 a.m., I can't believe that you're in a chair having those prosthetics put on for 4 hours.
Well, there's a whole lot tougher ways of making a living.
I don't know. I don't know. Hey, what do you do? Can you sleep while they're applying them?
I never really wanted to. The Hellboy trailer was a pretty cool place to hang. It was about six or eight guys on any given day, and great music, lots of gossip. It was lively. It was a party-like atmosphere.
And you were just sitting there, though, having all this stuff applied for 4 hours, right? A
couple of cocktails every once in a while, you know?
Sure.
Because you want to be loose when you're Hellboy.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, it was just big fun.
Where'd you shoot it?
We were in Prague, in the Czech Republic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
For 7 months. I think financial is the primary reason you go to Eastern Europe to make movies. You mm-hmm. save a ton on... They estimated we saved $10 million on just the sets, with the cost wow. of building the sets. The sets are... Well, Drew, you've seen the film.
Oh, so they're elaborate. I mean,
I'll speak to you here.
Yeah.
Well, he could have seen it twice, but he wussed out the second time. See, I'm hardcore.
Right, when you didn't see it at all.
I didn't see it at all,
you
but
really
if I
meant
did.
It.
No, but if I saw it, I'd see it three or four times.
Exactly.
Not like this Drew, Mr.
You probably
Mr.
Would.
One guy.
But it's you know, you get a lot of bang for your buck out there, and you know, and unfortunately, it's part of the realities of big time filmmaking, and money becomes of paramount importance, and you know, try to save as much as you can. So
these are incredibly elaborate sets. I mean, unbelievable.
Thank you.
Is it the labor that's... They don't have all the unions over there, right?
Right.
The labor's are much
labor's
cheaper.
Cheap, material is cheaper. Yeah.
And they have craftsmen there who can do the job.
You know, and it's kind of sad that we've watched, you know... I mean, we haven't the brightest and the best right here in our own country, but it's just...
Well,
twice as expensive to get
this
things
is
done.
You know, you got some teamster getting a $32.50 plus golden time plus a meal penalty for sitting in a van right. listening to Phil Henry eating a donut, and he's about to get another bump because he's going into his 14th hour. How long can you support a guy with a GED sitting in a van listening to talk radio making $45 an hour? I mean, at a certain point, you go, look, we'll go get some guy from Canada. We'll pay him $10 an hour. He'll sit there and he'll be happy.
That's right. Eh?
That's right. Listen,
I mean, he'll have himself a moose head there, and everything is just going
to
be fine.
Yeah,
now, Ron, you have to, Ron has to substantiate this for me. My friends are European, say that one of the secrets of the European continent is the Czechoslovakian women are supposedly gorgeous.
I never noticed.
No,
never noticed. No. Honey, if you're listening, I never touched those Czech women.
Beautiful women.
You know. There's something about the gene pool in all of Eastern Europe. I'm talking about everywhere. You know, Russian women are unbelievable.
Really?
Interesting gene pool. Statuesque and just strikingly beautiful.
That's all that same, that Yugoslavian, Czech, and Poland and Russia is all the same, basically,
and,
the same people.
And Hungary and Czech Republic is no different. And...
Let's focus on the ugly parts of the world. Who's the ugliest, Drew? Come on, buddy. You got the hot part. Who's okay, who's in between? You
Pacoima?
Say America, Canada?
Pacoima?
Hey, let's get outside.
Do you have any callers from Pacoima out there?
Yucaipa?
I could find one.
Yucaipa, yeah.
What do you think is what do you think the most sort of in between aesthetically country? Is Canada? What do you think?
Aesthetically?
Aesthetically, the people.
You mean, are you talking
England.
Prowess?
Yeah, physically. England. You say England.
UK, yeah, UK. Yeah.
England's about the middle.
UK.
Yeah. All right. I'll
obviously,
go with
that. Bad dental plan.
Let's let's speak to Heather, who's diminutive. Heather?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yes.
You're 5 foot tall?
Yep.
What's your nationality?
I'm kind of a blonde, so what do you mean by that?
Okay.
You have a hair.
Well, there you go.
I didn't ask what color your hair was. She's
blonde. That's all you got to know.
You have a heritage?
Like jeans? Like.
Where are you from?
All right.
Where are you from?
Where am I from? Okay.
Where are your ancestors from?
Sweden, actually.
There we go.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Good looking people. So what's up?
Well, I'm kind of short, and, like, sometimes I feel like that guys turn me down because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I never been a big issue for guys, in at least the guys I knew. They like a six-foot leggy blonde, but a cute short chick will do almost any time.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, here,
so it's not that, Heather. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but I mean, let's just straighten this out. I think guys work in terms of, are they attractive? Are they cute? Are they whatever? Or aren't they? It's not like, well, her hair's too short, or she's too short, or her butt's too big, or she's too busty, or whatever it is. It's just, you're either attractive or you're not.
Yeah.
To and that guy. Usually,
yeah, to that guy, which is basically all guys when they're teenagers. Mm-hmm. So, you're short, but that's all, right?
Well, yeah, but...
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, baby. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What's your nationality?
Well, I'm kind of a blonde.
All right. There you go, everybody. She wasn't probably, I'm guessing, not in that accelerated program that Ron
Special progress.
Special progress.
Yeah.
Boy, have we really kicked the crap out of the word special over the past 20 years in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So you're screwed if you're special now.
Yeah,
special anything.
You will pay the price.
You don't even want to buy anything that's on special.
No.
You know,
well, I do.
But yeah, but it's bad. That's because you have
I'm
some
half Scottish,
self-esteem issues.
Half Jewish. So.
He's thrifty.
Yeah, I'm thrifty.
Ron Perlman in here tonight. Half Scott, half Jew. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Perlman is here tonight, otherwise known as Hellboy.
Thank you.
Dr. Drew is in Muncie, Indiana. What's the time difference? 2 hours?
2 hours. I kind of feel like I'm in Prague.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Who do you talk to during the break, Drew? Because we're having a bang-up time here.
Yeah, we're talking
about over
private
all the time.
School.
Yeah.
Drew, you'd love this conversation. We're having a conversation about school.
Do you have kids, Brian?
I have two, yeah. I have a son who's about to start high school.
Yeah, out here? Out in L.A.?
Out in L.A. Yeah, out here in Muncie, yeah. Yeah, he shovels snow. He's going to go to a really good school.
Drew, why don't you move to Muncie and raise your kids in a nice, clean area? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Muncie, Indiana. Muncie.
What are you doing there, Drew?
Speaking at Ball State.
Oh, that's right. I asked that an hour ago.
Hey, David Letterman went there, didn't he?
That's absolutely right, Ron.
Wow.
David Letterman.
All right, let's power forward here and
I was having such a good time chatting with you guys.
Yeah, you can talk to us anytime, but the kids.
Here goes the good times.
Kidnapped by convicts as a kid. All right, we got to talk to Ron, who's 25. Ron?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
What's happening?
Hey, not a lot. Hey, just want to say hi to Drew out in ugly Muncie, and hey to Ron, a longtime fan, and hey, Adam, you're okay, too.
Thanks. You were kidnapped by convicts when you were a kid?
So something like that, yeah. It was it wasn't actually a kid. It was actually a few years back, and it's kind of left me wondering. There was that and another pretty nasty thing that I had to watch, and it's kind of left me wondering if I'm maybe going a little overboard on kind of being hyper vigilant, trying to be socially responsible and ethical about some of the decisions I make. I kind of get caught up like. I don't know whether I'm at a supermarket and, you know, the lady hands me an extra 3 pennies and I don't really immediately hand it back to her or catch it, but I'll be out in the parking lot and I wonder if I need to go back in and give it to her or, like, I'll cut a guy off on the freeway.
All right, hold on, Ron. I mean, Ron the caller.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Ronnie.
All right.
Listen, Ronnie, let's talk about the abduction here. Because the hypervigilant part where you give the money back is really... not connected to this, I don't think. But what happened with you being abducted by convicts?
I was out at a like a state park, and some guys left a like a moderate security facility, and this actually wasn't the first time it had happened, but they left the facility and came up to us, and myself and the friend that was with me, and another friend, and. And they kind of wanted to take my car, and they wanted to go rob a liquor store. So they I wasn't okay with them take. Well, initially they wanted to take my girlfriend in the car and go rob a liquor store, but I said no, that's not so kosher. And So we ended up actually like driving him to the liquor store, and they rob it and hop in the car with a couple of 2 liters of vodka and some Bacardi and whatnot, and they have us drive us back to the, have us drive them back to that area, and
back to where the prison was. They once you drive them back to where the minimum security prison was.
Actually, it's actually Folsom Prison, and it's the honor camp that's out behind it, from what I've since learned. But I had no idea that it was related to the prison, because they told us some line about they were coming from a party, and if they didn't go get booze, that their girls would get beat up, or some bunch of crap like that. But
yeah. Well, hold on. See, there you go. Now, honor camp. Now, honor camp would have been something good.
I think
20 years ago, right?
No, I was in special progress.
You were in special progress. As a matter of fact, honor camp sounds better than special progress.
Yeah, I wished I was in the honor camp.
Honor camp's a bunch of deadbeat dads who were kicked out of a housing project, and of course, you were in advanced placement program. Okay, Ron is sketchy at best. Call her Ronnie.
Well, what was the other horrible thing that he had to witness?
And by the way,
you really missed out on that.
This
one,
abducted by convicts is starting to sound less like what I originally pictured. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I pictured guys who tunneled out, hardened criminals.
I was ready to ask, how long were you held for?
Right. Me too.
It seems like they just wanted.
They just wanted some vodka.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
How do you, by the way, it seems like you don't have to escape from an honor camp. It's like stealing from one of those honor vending machine boxes at the in the kitchen. It's just you take the Triscuits and you don't put the quarter in, right? You don't actually break in, though.
Yeah, you know, that was my initial perception. A friend of mine went into corrections, and I ended up getting some info from him on how these things actually work. And the way it normally works is these guys check themselves in after being revoked for probation or something, and they're the people who have like a year left, and so trying to escape would be stupid. For instance, one of the guys got 25 to life because of the different offenses they committed against us. There were enough felonies, like he was charged with 6 different felonies and was convicted of 5, and he got 25 to life when he would have been out, I think, in about 7 months.
So you call being Pennywise and pound foolish.
What was this horrible thing that you had to witness? You said you saw some bad things.
That was actually a couple years prior. It was a little bit weird. I watched a friend of mine get jumped by like a group of 12 skinheads or so, and they kind of stabbed the hell out of him. And it kind of sticks with me, not to the point that I can't get around it each day, but it's I don't know, like it wasn't like, you know, the fight, you know, I've seen people fight, that's not such a hardcore thing, but it was you know, he's laying on the ground, they all take off, they're like locusts, you know, they swarm in and attack, and then they disappear, and so I bend over, I take out my sweater, and I'm pushing it against him, and he's kind of opening up, and that, it's kind of stuck with me, and...
Did he die?
You know, he did okay. I think he lost a whole bunch of intestine and maybe half of a lung, but he's doing pretty well for himself now. But
All right.
But
all right.
Yeah,
well, all bad things to see. But still, these things happen when you were an adult.
Yeah,
and usually when this kind of stuff happens when you're adult, your brain is already sort of the cement. Your brain is already dried. You can't life can't pick up a stick and put its initials in it easily.
You can get a post-traumatic stress reaction, but it doesn't affect your character structure.
Well, right. And that's, I think actually that's kind of what I wanted to comment on, Drew. If you could give me some input on it, the PTSD angle, I'm not as concerned about that being there. I mean, I'm kind of willing to just agree that it's there. But like you say, you know, if your character and your personality are not, you know, vapid and defunct at an early age, you're going to be okay, maybe hopefully later.
Yeah.
But I think it's sort of pushing me to tend to be just really excessively moralist, excessively ethical and hypervigilant in that area. And it's getting to where it's.
All right, I'm getting rid of him. He's giving me a headache. I think he's going off the wrong direction with this whole thing.
Yeah.
You being excessively ethical.
Hypervigilance is PTSD, but the fact that the vigilance is around virtue, you could have a worse vigilance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why is he complaining?
It's like saying I'm damned because I have to jog 5 miles every day and do 100 push-ups and eat right.
Yeah.
I have a cursed life. Okay, Ron has issues. I can tell that by his cadence and his tone. And Ron should get some therapy, and Ron should stop trying to worry about what incident caused his situation and focus more on solving his situation.
And Adam should stop talking about Ron and get on to the next caller.
Thank you. Are you
saying I need therapy?
No. It's Ronnie.
The screen Ron says kidnapped by convicts as a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what this show is like. It's like when you look in the back of those comic books as a kid and you say, giant robot commands your every command is your wish is his command, $4. And you think, well, on one hand, how could this be? On the other hand, you think, count me in. This is going to be great. And then 2 weeks later, a package comes, and it's basically a visqueen drop cloth with a balloon on it and some fishing string. And you think, yes, life is horrible. That's what this show is like. I see kidnapped by convicts. I think, yes, this is going to be great. And then we get Ron. Simon?
Buddy.
You're 26?
Yes, I am, sir.
What's happening? Thanks. Ask Ron a question.
Ron. All right, Ron, you are one of my all-time favorite actors.
Thank you.
I haven't seen Hellboy yet, but directed by the guy that did Blade 2, which I think is one of my favorite comic book adaptations. City of Lost Children, one of my favorite movies, and I'm an aspiring filmmaker. And I was just wondering, because you've worked in the industry so long, any advice for someone who is more into fantasy or surrealism but wants to get into big-budget filmmaking someday?
I just think you make whatever you can with whatever resources you can muster. If it's a digital camera that you got for $600, whatever it is you can do, you just commit it to film and keep honing it in until you get something that you like and then show it to as many people as you can and, you know, it'll snowball. It really will.
Cool. I'm hoping to do music videos for a few years, kind of get some notice and some work up. And do you think
you're saying you want to be a filmmaker and you want to work in horror and then you're going to do music videos, is that to pay the rent? Because there's ways to pay the rent and then there's things that you do out of passion that you would just do for free. So
it's passion, I'm a graduate from film school. I'm hoping to go to AFI someday. If, years from now, my long-term plan, some of my favorite directors worked in music video before they did film, and I know.
Who cares?
Ooh, Anderson's
bitter because he's been going to film school since Busby Berkeley's been...
sure, finally I get somebody giving me some love, and, cut him off now.
No, he's here. He's here.
No, you're an incredible actor, man. And,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Like Rodgers and Hammerstein once said, you'll never have a dream come true until you have a dream.
Yeah, that's good. That's... All right. I think, and by the way, I'm just looking through Ron's body of work here. Like 90, well, TV, voiceover, movies, theatrical releases, that kind of, it just keeps going and going and going, Drew. Mm-hmm. My wife likes shoes,
so I can't ever stop working.
I mean, it just keeps, it's bizarre. It's 5 pages. Literally 80-something credits.
Everything that Jeremy Piven wasn't in.
He makes Jeremy Piven look like a flash in the pan.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, here's how you know...
That's because I'm taking everything that Jeremy turned down.
Here's how you know Ron works a lot. There's like 8 things before you get to Hellboy. Wow. Meaning we're going in order. He's got a whole bunch of stuff that has not even come out yet, and then Hellboy's well down on the list.
Well, now, a lot of that is just totally misprint. If it's IMDb, they put stuff on there that never has happened, never will happen, and it's mystifying to me. But
well, there's obviously a lot of gay porn here from the 70s.
Yeah, but that doesn't make me a bad person.
No. No, listen. I don't judge. Yeah, you got. Yeah,
no, that's
kids,
a whole different radio talking show.
Yeah,
talker caller thing. ID. Can we get Troy back on the phone? Theo.
Theo. Yeah. Theo
right,
is good.
I'm gonna get rid of this Carrie over here, who's 20, who's been on hold for 80 minutes. Carrie.
Yes.
You got a boyfriend about? You got a question about the viscosity of your boyfriend's semen?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. What percentage of women know what viscosity means?
It's well, some experience like that.
All right. All right.
Anyways, I'm
how do you
serious.
Spell
this
viscosity?
Is a serious question.
All right. It's chunky, yes?
It is.
Is it always chunky?
It is every single time, and I've never seen it before.
That is, however, normal.
You're 20, huh?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's normal.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay. We're sure glad we cleared that up for you.
Well, we get that.
You can get it, by the way, smooth or chunky.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like planters.
I like fruit on the bottom.
Yeah, and I do, too. That's
why
I
take
it. Yes.
We call it tapioca here.
Yeah. I'm going to tell Ron about my brilliant yogurt.
Fruit in the middle.
Go with a big butt, yeah. But fruit in the
middle. Fruit in the middle.
It's
not
juicy.
The bottom.
It's sweet.
In the
it's
middle.
And in the middle.
Let me explain.
So you don't have to stir it.
Well, you do, because it's pleasurable. Here's the problem. They put the fruit in, then they put the yogurt on top, then you got to stir it. Now, in order to stir it, you got to bury the goddamn spoon into the yogurt. You get the schmutz all the way up
it
the
spills.
Spoon.
It
right.
Spills.
It spills. You're trying to till it, and you can't really till it. And then when you get down to the very bottom, there's always a little, like trapped miners. There's a little enclave of cherries or strawberries or something you didn't quite get to.
Best part.
But what about the fruit in the middle? You put a little shot of yogurt at the bottom, then a lovely layer of fruit.
You should
then
just
more
bypass
yogurt.
The yogurt totally and just get that fruit in there.
That's
you
a better idea.
An entire thing of fruit with a very long spoon.
You know what we should have? Yogurt
in the middle.
Yogurt at the bottom.
Yeah. It's all fruit and just it's all syrupy fruit and just an eighth inch of yogurt at the bottom.
Sure, glad we cleared that up.
Write that down, Drew.
Done.
All right. So let's see, attracted to older men.
Oh, yeah, get him on. Her.
Yeah, it's a female, yeah. Charlie?
Yeah?
You're attracted to older men?
Yeah.
How old?
It's pretty creepy.
How old?
I'm 16, and I don't know, like, I was, like, 6 when I had a crush on, like, this 17-year-old dude I didn't even know. And then, like, all through elementary school, I never liked any of the guys in my classes. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't get crushes or anything. And now my dad is marrying this, like, 35-year-old woman, and I'm like, oh, God, like, I could end up being her 20 years from now.
How old is your dad?
My dad's 50.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, are you dating anyone now?
There's nothing wrong with a good 50-year-old man.
That's right. Ron's...
I'm turning 54 in about... what time is it?
About 45 minutes.
I'm turning 54 in 45 minutes.
And he still has the word boy in his head.
There's nothing wrong with a good 50-year-old man. So I wouldn't worry about it if I were you.
Yeah, but
Drew, do you have anything to say?
Well, we had a discussion about this a few days ago where Adam, we had, what's her name? Melissa, Alicia Cuthbert in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a healthy 21-year-old, and Adam found her quite attractive.
She was all right.
Well, yeah, now in retrospect, now that she let you know that she was not into you because you were too old, and you were shocked. Shocked. And I said, look, a 21-year-old should not be attracted to a 38-year-old. Should not be. There's something wrong with her if she really is. She should be attracted to people her own age.
All right. Now
why is that? Where is that written?
It's not written. It's just it's not necessarily pathological, but it's
at
21.
Appropriateness be said in the same breath as affairs of the heart, or maybe it's not the heart, but it's some organ in there.
There's reasons that women would do that, and it's outside of their script. In other words, if they are interested in having a husband, getting a family, and they're dating a guy who's 45, that is not a good thing to do. That when they have, 20-year-old kids, this guy's going to be pushing 70.
Yeah.
That is unfair to everybody. That's not real. That's not reality. What's
all right,
that?
But wait a minute. Charlie, I don't understand that. You want to talk about your dad or you want to talk about you?
I don't know. Me? It's weird because...
All right. These are the world's worst goddamn calls tonight.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Or is it just me?
No, I
mean,
I agree.
People sort of have announcements but no real questions. It's like, I like older guys.
I'm going to need that the medication soon that, the paranoid kid had because I'm thinking it's me now. I'm thinking,
you guys have great shows
all the time, except when I'm on.
Look, there's some truth to that statement, but it is not you. It is not you. I blame Drew, first off.
For being in Muncie.
Secondly, I blame Jesus because I'm an atheist, and I got to believe he punishes me on occasion. And thirdly, I blame the people that call this program. And then some blame, of course, to engineer Chris, who I feel is giving me the stink eye tonight and putting a jinx on me. Yes? Yes? Oh, well, of course you'd say no. That's what you would say. All right. So here's the... All right. Oh, wait. One more time over here. This is Charlie.
Yeah.
Go out with guys your own age.
Okay, but I have one question.
All right.
Let's have the question.
What? What's your question?
Both my grandpas died when I was really, really young, and I was very close to both of them. Could that have something to do with it?
It's not a great thing for you. There's not a 16-year-old girl in the United States that isn't attracted to a 22-year-old guy.
No, it's not 22-year-olds. It's, like, teachers that I think are, like, really intellectual, and then it's, like, a thought, and I'm like, oh, my God.
No,
yeah,
it's
but
okay.
You don't
it's
act
fine.
On it, right?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. No, it's fine. That's fine. Charlie, yeah, you're fine.
Listen, everyone, here's the thing. Be freaked out by the things you do, not the things you think about. Everybody yeah. has those ideas.
Oh, my God, Adam. What if you were freaked out by the things you thought about?
I'd have to kill myself.
But you
got to
admit, older guys are certainly more interesting than younger guys. I mean,
yes.
you know, there's a whole...
Yeah,
What we lack in speed, we make up for in guile, you know?
And especially, Charlie over here sounded like she had some intellectual capacity, so of course she's going to be attracted
think
she's,
older you know,
guy.
She's more engaged with men who are more textured and layered.
Yeah,
let's put it like that.
Yes.
Very, very healthy.
Yeah, you got a nice... Ron has a nice patina on him.
That's right.
All.
There you go.
All right, let's talk to...
It's because I use fluoride.
Megan from Santa Cruz, who's 18. Megan?
Yes?
You cannot orgasm through sex.
No, I never have.
But you can? Yeah, can through?
Yes, I can do it myself or oral, but I've never had an orgasm during sex.
Okay, in all probability, you never will.
Oh, that sucks.
No, that's yeah. most women, Megan. For whatever reason, the women magazines don't tell you that. Most women
most.
Do not. Well, I know in Adam's world, 100%, but
maybe
maybe statistically, most women only have orgasm with direct stimulation, not with intercourse.
Wow, really?
Absolutely.
I had no idea.
Yep, yeah. There you go.
Wow. And also, I wanted to say hi to Ron because I saw Hellboy and I thought it was awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
Says you're overweight.
I'm about 20 pounds overweight. Does that have something to do with it?
No.
You're fat.
No. It is in terms of the guys don't put the effort forward.
Oh, my God. Oh
it's
my
true.
God.
Let's be honest. You get a CD-type effort. From guys, you know, when
mm-hmm.
it's when they're on top of that Victoria's Secret model, they bring their A game. Well, they can
mm-hmm.
be a little intimidated too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you have a boyfriend?
Actually, I broke up a little while ago. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Why'd you break up with him?
He moved away and found another girlfriend.
I know I'm the world's biggest a-hole, but I'm thinking, what's this fat chick doing breaking up with some dude? And it's like, it didn't compute. And then he got a new gal and moved out of town. Oh, that's why you dumped him. All right, I know it's cruel, Drew. I know it's horribly
indeed.
Cruel. And it is my job to say what everyone's thinking. All I got to say is, listen... Fat people are discriminated against in this horrible country of ours. And when I heard about an 18-year-old girl who has a weight problem dumping her boyfriend, it didn't exactly compute. I was like, well, the chubby chicks don't do the dumping for the most part. And as it turns out, she dumped him because he got involved with somebody and moved. Megan?
Yes.
All right, baby doll. So you're having an orgasm through oral sex and through masturbation.
You're ahead of the game.
Hellboy,
yeah.
And you're way ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Sorry for the things Drew said.
I didn't really expect sympathy.
Yeah, he was
right,
he was
doll.
Brutal.
It's good. You're
as
fine.
As opposed to you. You know, you were
yeah.
just as...
I put my kid gloves on. Mm. All right, so Megan, what are you doing? You're 18. Are
nurturing.
You in high school?
Yeah, senior. I'm graduating this year.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go up to art school. But I want to get into drawing comics, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Can you draw Hellboy?
I've tried. He looks kind of like a girl when I try to, though.
Mm.
Mostly I draw female characters.
All right. Well, thank you for castrating our guest. We have to take a quick break. All right.
You wouldn't be the first.
she broke up with him.
My wife had that honor on our wedding night.
Yeah. Drew's wife did it, too, on their wedding night, but does a sacrificial sort of ceremonial castration on their anniversary.
Sacrificial, Adam. Yeah.
Sacrificial. All right, we'll take a break. Ron Perlman from Hellboys here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ron Perlman is here tonight. He is Hellboy.
Thank you.
Number one at the box office week before last. Then Jesus gave it a bump. But they'll be back next week. It was one of those Easter things. And, the Passion of the Christ, like $360 million or something the thing has made. I've not seen it. I don't normally see, you know, subtitled movies, especially, you know, if they don't have nudity. So, to me, and it's religious, so it's, you know, it's a bust all the way around. But also, it seems too violent, too graphic. I don't mind a little Hellboy violence, you know, it's fantasy. I don't like the actual
There's no human blood in Hellboy.
Really?
No human blood. He fights monsters. He's a monster who fights other monsters, so it's all sort of green goo and slime and stuff.
Yeah. No,
no human blood.
Nobody hanging on a cross.
No, nothing disturbing at all.
Let's, I got some good calls
lined up. The guy with the swords in his hands, though, cuts people up pretty, you don't see it.
I forgot about him.
All right.
It's very violent. don't take your kids.
Melissa?
Yes?
You're 23?
Mm-hmm.
What's your question?
Well, I'm having problems in my relationship. I'm having big time trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to make me trust my boyfriend better.
How old is she?
She's 23.
He's 23, too.
Has he ever done anything to lead you to believe he shouldn't be trusted?
No, and that's the problem. I've had, you know, I was married before and had, you know, major trust issues with him. He did cheat on me, and he cheated on me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, why would you pick a cheater?
I was really young when I got married.
Nah.
Nope.
Naive.
Nope.
Where,
nope.
What about your dad? Where is he? Did he cheat on your mom?
There's a whole bunch of crap in my past that I'm sure leads up to this.
Yeah, well, if your dad was a cheater, can't you see the pattern there?
Yeah. I just, you know, this guy I'm with right now, he's a really good guy.
Yeah, but here's why we're pushing on that, Melissa. You pick a cheater. Uh-huh. Now you insist on this guy being a cheater, even though he's not. You're going to make him into one. Yeah, and if he's not going to be one, you're going to sabotage the relationship because you won't hear of it if he was not a cheater.
Yeah. I try and say, go ahead, go out, hang out with your friends, you know, do whatever you want because you need to be a guy and hang out with your guy friends. But then I sit at home and dwell on it all night, and I make myself angry, you know.
Yeah. Right, You're an absolute saboteur. You're going to sabotage this thing. Don't this guy's any... actually good, wouldn't cheat, and is available. You won't have any of it.
Yeah, you won't tolerate it because you can't handle the intimacy.
Right.
So first things first, don't have any kids.
Ugh.
I already had one from the first.
All right. Well, okay, so that's one screwed up kid, but don't have any more, would you, please?
Can you don't worry.
Yeah, no, just give it some time because, look, here's the thing, everybody. Having a kid is like, sparring five rounds or something. You have to be in a certain amount of shape to do it. Otherwise, someone's going to get hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. And so many people aren't in good enough shape even just to get up out of their chair. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're 19, they're 20, they got abused when they were kids. They're still, going over the skeletons of their past. And by the way, have zero insight in terms of working it out. Just
Amazing.
Zero.
Amazing.
Just zero. And in terms of this society puts no emphasis on that at all. The fact that, you know, someone like Melissa, if she just do a little bit poking around in the right direction, could probably find some answers to a lot of her questions, but has no idea what direction to head. And our society really provides no roadmap for the Melissas of the world is sad. It's bizarre to me how we live in the society comprised of, you know, 280 million people, and there just seems to be almost a taboo involved with any work, substantial work done in this field. Like, if, you know, if the president... If the president is seen, you know, if the president says, look, I'm not particularly religious, but I've been in therapy for a number of years and feel like he'd be drummed out of office. He would be considered weak. Instead, we got retards who are pretending to be religious. Or either we have, you know, we have guys like Clinton who would just say they're religious so they can get their BJs and get people to leave them alone. Or we get people like Bush who and Reagan who really are religious, but in a sort of scary, stupid kind of way, more than, you know, praying for the casualties over there in Iraq. I don't know who's scarier, the guy who, you know, says he's religious and is really just BSing the United States, or the guy who actually believes it and is sort of stupid. I hope I'm not offending you, Ron, because of whatever religion.
You took care of that a long time ago.
You may be.
I've been offended since we went on the air, actually.
It's just sad that we don't...
I'm here to protect. I don't know if you've seen the billboards.
I'd like a therapist, but I'd like a president or a congressman or someone that goes, yeah, I do a little therapy. I got my problems. That's what I do. That's my religion. I go and pay. I pay a Jewish guy. I lay down on a sofa.
That's not the American way.
I know. I like the idea that we would think he was weak, or that he was somehow screwed up, or that he would be stigmatized because of this. I don't know if there's ever been an American president who's you know, gone to a therapist, but if they did, they sure as hell wouldn't admit it. They'd rather just be seen leaving church on Sunday with their beard of a wife. Wow. That was heavy, Drew. Melissa?
Feel better?
Uh-huh.
I do.
I need a Xanax.
I do. All right, so listen,
Dr. Drew, can you prescribe things on the air?
Can you do it over the phone?
I'm in Indiana now, though, see.
Yeah, but Drew,
they have drugstores there.
Here's what I'm saying. Can you just do it like when they do those mass weddings? You know what I mean? Like you just give us some Xanax over the phone.
Just a big bag.
Yeah. All right, Melissa. No more kids, and don't screw this one up. And how about
let him be himself?
No. Listen.
Just get some therapy. What
Stop
do you
worrying
that?
About this guy cheating. Realize you need him to cheat, and that you won't stay with him if he doesn't cheat, and drop all that crap. Stop it. Have a relationship.
Okay.
All right.
It's not funny.
Hey, listen, stupid. Why don't you do something? Why don't you read a book or listen to some classical music or something?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, come on. You got a kid now. You got to be better.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to try and make it work with this, but, you know, I've offered for us to go to therapy, or for me to go to therapy, to try and figure out how not to blame him for things he has not done.
Yeah,
but Melissa, right. you can't process what we're telling you, can you? That you need him to cheat. You want to make him cheat so you can sabotage this relationship.
But I don't. How do I fix it? How do I not?
Well, go do the therapy.
Go do the therapy.
Go do it. That's right.
How about that? All right. Do they have therapists in Arizona?
Yes.
All right. Well, go see one. I imagine like a sort of George O'Keefe sort of desert scene in the therapist's office. You
but
know?
No humidity. It's...
Big potted cactus and like a terracotta colored sofa. Mm. Guy comes walking in wearing shorts and flip-flops.
Very mellow, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Arizona doesn't seem right for therapy, Drew. Doesn't he have to go to Boston or New York or maybe L.A. even?
Arizona's good.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the best programs.
Turquoise-colored carpet.
There's some great programs in Arizona. The Meadows is in Arizona. Sierra Tucson is in Arizona.
All right. Katie?
Hello?
You're 21?
Hi. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sorry
if I stutter. I'm really nervous right now. I have a question for Dr. Drew, but first, can I say something to Ron?
Eating disorder.
Oh, happy birthday, Ron.
Tomorrow. Oh, thank you.
I just want to tell you, like, as far as liking older men goes, I think you are extremely sexy, and I'm 21. And
thank
I love you,
God,
and you're so
you.
Great in Hellboy. It was awesome to me.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I'm nervous. Okay. Dr. Drew, my question is, I've been clean off crack for about going on 6 months now. Mm-hmm. And I did it for about a year, but I only did it, like, one night a week. And we would just do it, like, you know, on the weekend kind of thing. So I never was, like, really addicted to it. Mm-hmm. But I did do it a lot when I did it that one night. And I was wondering, like, would I have a lot of long-term damage from that? Or do you think that it would be okay? Like, I'm kind of worried about, like, my heart and stuff.
Well, you can get some damage to the inner surface of the heart sometimes, but usually the damage, the more serious damage from crack is when you're using. In other words, if you've survived the use without having a stroke, without having a heart attack, without having renal failure, you're usually fine.
Yeah,
if you want to get an EKG and echocardiogram, you can sort of know for sure whether you've done any sort of small bits.
Like symptoms, like if something's
not
wrong?
Just, no, not necessarily.
Because there's been a few times my heart's like not kind of felt right, like skipped a beat and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's okay. That doesn't necessarily mean a thing. But the crack thing, that there's no sort of casual crack use. And people don't use crack every day. They use it in binges the way you did.
Wow.
So this suggests, Katie, do you have an eating disorder, by the way?
No. Not really. And, I kind of did when I was younger. I had a lot of problems when I was younger with, like, depression.
Yeah, I could feel that about you right away.
Yeah. Well, the crack was a hint.
Well, no, before... Didn't you hear me say... I said eating disorder before she said crack.
I thought Anderson played that drop. It didn't even sound like you. You just
no, that was me. Disorder. That right. was me.
Well, say it like it's you.
That was me. And sort of codependency issues.
By the way,
issues,
you saying that was me didn't sound like it was you.
Did you have an alcoholic family or something? Or addict parents?
Yes, I did.
Katie?
Yes. Drew, are you being fresh?
Hello?
Katie?
Hello?
All right. Listen, Hello? Baby doll.
12-step is the point. 12-step. Go to some CA meetings, get a sponsor, work some steps. And right, I think you have some codependency issues to work out, too.
All right. Hey, but listen, you know, good time. She quit the crack. And what about, like, heroin, not too bad for you if you don't die while you're doing heroin, right?
The heroin doesn't hurt anything except causing the most serious form of addiction. That is a fatal right. process. That was why opiates were so popular, is that they were extremely effective pain medication without hurting anything, without harming anything.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine,
not too bad?
Cocaine can affect the mood centers and set you off in a sort of a bipolar direction. Mm-hmm. And it can cause strokes and heart attacks. It can constrict blood vessels, so it causes end organ damage in the heart, lung, and kidney.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, if you survive it, it's usually not that big a deal. But the drive back is rather profound, though.
Yeah. Can't be too bad for your pulmonary system, because a lot of great athletes over the years, you know? LT smoked a lot of crack and sacked a lot of quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah, I know. They always do that thing where it's like, hey, just, you know, crack's a first-rate killer. Well, the guy, arguably the best linebacker in professional football, smoked mountains of crack.
Hmm.
And then everyone does that. Well, imagine how great he could have been if he, well, he was the most dominating player on that side of the ball in NFL history. So I'd say that's pretty good, right? Being the greatest linebacker of all time? Yeah, but imagine how good he could have. Well, I'd say he was living. I'd say he lived up to his potential, being the greatest defensive football player of all time. Yes, right.
I think that's probably. His.
But imagine, like, what do you mean? Imagine, what was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to be a perennial all-star and cure cancer? Like, what else was he supposed to do? Something other than football? Are they still talking about football? Are they talking about a life in of opera or poetry? I don't say doing drugs is good, but. It doesn't slow your body down as much as they lead you to believe.
Some drugs, some of these guys.
Yeah, some of them, yeah. All right, we got to take a little break over here. Ron, you don't do any drugs, do you?
None.
That's my boy.
I have a cocktail every once in a while.
There's nothing wrong with a smart cocktail, especially after a long radio program. I like to unwind with one myself. When we come back, we'll speak.
Are you hitting on Ron?
Eric.
Adam?
Well, we go out and we grab a mint julep.
Do we have to go on a break? Because I got a question I'd like to ask Dr.
Go ahead.
I have a. I'm sure that this is a strange point of view, but you know, so many of our artists have grappled with the usage problems. You know, mm-hmm. whatever their poison happens to be, it's kind of irrelevant. But you know, I mean, Van Gogh, and you know, he had his thing. You know. Most recently, the guy who's just been sort of dragged through the slime is this Robert Downey, and they keep trying to say, you know, you got to clean up your act and stuff. Richard Pryor, when, you know, it seems as though when these guys stop abusing themselves, they totally lose their edge as artists.
All right, well, hold on a second. Drew.
Yeah.
This is a good question to formulate an exciting and provocative answer.
You'll be disappointed.
I know, but we're going to take a break,
right,
and we'll come back, and we'll talk about that, because it is something that's come up from time to time, and it,
sure,
it is sort of hard to argue with it. So you can...
What?
It's not hard to argue that a guy should get off heroin or crack if he's doing heroin or crack, but it's also sort of hard to argue with the fact that it seems like their best and most creative times were when they were strung out on the drug. All right, quiet down, Drew. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah.
It is 2 hours time difference, but it's 1978 also in Muncie. So it's actually 2 a.m. and the year's 1978. Go ahead.
I was strangely thinking about that as I was sitting in the hotel with the sort of plastic shower doors and formed showers and thinking, my God, you're right. And the rest of the country still is in the 70s.
Yeah, that's all right.
And parts of Europe.
Yeah.
Well, let me answer Ron's question.
Yes, and answer Ron's question. And let's just quickly restate Ron's question, which is, what about these artists such as Robert Downey Jr.? What about getting off drugs? And how does that affect
now,
them?
While we're on
the
subject...
Ron's question was, weren't they...
Wait a minute.
What?
I don't know what we're listening to, but I think it's got something to do with... What the hell was that?
I have no idea what that... That has nothing to do with me.
All right.
What? We didn't hear it.
Really
didn't hear
scary,
it.
Though.
I heard
What was it?
I don't know, but just go
it was
ahead.
Hellboy.
Go ahead.
They finally showed a clip on radio.
That the question is, were they somehow more creative or more productive when they were using? And Ron, the first thing you have to remember is that addiction is a progressive disease. Okay. And once it progresses to the point it needs treatment, it means it is in full bloom and they can't function any longer. They now are losing relationships and work, and they're having health problems. So the to try to function while continuing to use, impossible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's one thing. Once they get to the point they need treatment, it's because they can't function anymore. It's not going to, and it will continue to get worse from there. That is in the biology of the condition.
But Ron is saying the man has intervened and forced treatment.
No, so the question is then becomes, were they more productive before they were in full bloom? And I have treated many addicts, actors and actresses, and even more musicians, and they all have this very pathological fear that somehow their careers will be at an end, they won't be able to be creative any longer. And of the many hundreds of these people I've treated, not one has that been borne out. Not one. They all feel much better afterwards. They feel that they're more productive. They get more done. They're better than they were.
Well, what about the singing detective?
What about it? People thought that was a great performance.
Well, Ron did not enjoy that movie.
Oh, well, there you go.
It was no Charlie Chaplin. That's all I'm saying.
I think comics get unfunnier when they, you know... I don't know. I think there's also a little, you know, chicken and egg kind of thing here. Like, what came first? The psychosis that led to somebody being a user, or the using that led to the psychosis, or what is it that you know gives you the artistic DNA, you know, the thing that where you have to be creative, and you have no other choice. There's no way you're going to function in society unless you're either a musician or an actor or an artist, or you know, and all of the damaged circuitry is what is the core of your genius. And it's all kinds of things that are leading to the usage issue, which is probably secondary or tertiary or somewhere, you know.
Well, it's a chicken or egg thing like you brought up, and it's sort of moot, too, because at a certain point, you just got to get off, you got to put down the crack pipe.
Right, it's because it's progressed.
So what are we going
to
do?
It progresses to the point that it's going to continue to progress, and that's it. They just have to get off.
All right.
It's
too bad. Let's talk to Eric, who's 22. Eric?
Yes.
Your fiance was raped for 5 years by her brother.
Yes.
And you want to know if it's going to affect your marriage?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not...
How can we fix that?
Therapy.
She needs a treatment.
As Ron would suggest, you pick up a crack pipe and simply write poetry all day while smoking crack. But we live in the real world, Ron, and we say therapy.
Was that Ron the caller or Ron the guest?
That was Ron the caller.
Okay, thank
Ron,
God.
Because Ron the guest is in the studio with me.
Because I've never.
He's going to, yeah. Hey, yeah. Eric, has she gotten therapy?
No, she doesn't really believe that paying someone to listen is going to help that much.
All right. Well,
you
luck, brother. Yeah.
Eric, how long have you known her?
We've been dating for about 2 months, and I've known her for about 3.
Okay.
Oh, now, boy.
She's your fiancé already.
Yeah. Listen to me. Now, her brother, her biological brother.
No. No, it was her adopted brother. She's adopted. Her brother was adopted. No.
Okay.
Start getting raped at 5.
Okay. Her being adopted is a nightmare in and of itself. How old was she when she was adopted?
Just days old.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better than being dropped off at 2. Okay. Eric, you're not going to listen to me. I can tell by your echoing her friend being paid to listen to you sort of BS that you have referred to therapy as. So you will embark in your own hellish ride with this.
Now, yeah, this is going to be a lot.
You can listen to us now, though. And here's the thing, Eric. You're not a smart guy. That's fine. All you got to be is smart enough to listen to us. You don't have to be smart enough to come up with your own ideas. Just smart enough not to dismiss our ideas, all right?
Okay,
here's the deal. A, don't get married. Slow down. There's no rush.
Yes, you're only 22. 3 months. Yeah.
What is she, 21, 22?
Yeah, about that.
Okay, give it a few years. Do not be in any hurry. I swear to Christ, this will bite you in the ass. And meanwhile, she needs a boatload of therapy before you even begin to do anything. So do not get married. For Christ's sake, don't have any kids. And get her some therapy.
And please.
You can answer your own question if you just take more time to get to know her and find out, you know, the degree of how this affected her, which you will find out only in time.
We will take a break. We'll be right back. All right, that's the show, everybody. Plumb out of time. I want to thank Ron Perlman for coming in. Ron, here's the deal. Come back for Hellboy 3, 5... 7, 9, and 11. We'll do the odd ones.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can see that. It was odd. It was as odd as it gets tonight, I'll tell you that.
That's what I love about the show. Drew?
Yeah.
Have fun in Muncie.
Thank you.
And
Drew, thank you for having me on and for your enthusiasm for Hellboy.
Yep.
As the one of the two hosts that saw the movie.
I'm going to see it on the way home tonight.
I'm telling you, my kids are so excited about this film. I know we're going to have the DVD playing nonstop when it comes out.
There's some stuff waiting for your kids.
All right, Drew. Thank you. Kissing ass. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I just sort of spazzed out whenever I smoke crack cocaine.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.